I too enjoyed those hymns. They were appropriately chosen in keeping with the theme of our beloved Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I was smiling to myself as I looked at the pulpit. Occasionally you come up here and you're going to give out a closing hymn and there's no hymn book. Tonight, I'm safe. There's three. A real joy to be with you today. I appreciate so much the hospitality and love of the Garrett Van Veens and the Weebs. Very kind of you to take this stranger in. It used to be that I would drive up here before the Lord's Supper at 9:30, about 115 miles, and then drive home afterwards. But I'm now under the doctor's orders and my son's orders. The one takes care of me physically, the other one feeds me, so I just got to do what I'm told. So I appreciate the kindness of the Lord's people and giving me a bed for two nights. It's awfully good of you. This morning we began a two-part message on the subject of the bride and the bridegroom, looking forward to that wonderful day, I believe very soon, when the church is going to be raptured to glory and we will have the joy of meeting our beloved Lord. I agree, that's a beautiful hymn. Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be when with rapture I behold him? Jesus Christ who died for me. Beloved, I'm looking forward to it. I believe it's not near. I believe it's imminent. And I'm waiting with delight that wonderful moment. Well, soon after the rapture, there will be what Scripture beautifully calls the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, as we mentioned this morning, in the times of our Lord Jesus Christ, in fact, prior to that, in the times of Abraham, Abraham sent a servant he trusted to find a bride for his son. And when he had found Rebekah and felt before God that she was the one, then he met with the father of the prospective bride. And he had was going to show to him the wealth of the prospective bridegroom. He had things that he laid out before him. And he was really working with the father of the bride to establish a price that he would pay for the bride. And it's a precious story. I encourage you to read it again. I enjoyed it this afternoon, Genesis chapter 24. Put yourself in the picture as the bride of Christ and the picture of Isaac as the Lord Jesus Christ. We rejoice, beloved, because as they came together in that Old Testament economy, they pictured the marriage of the Lamb, the marriage supper of the Lamb, and there was a covenant that was going to be made between the two of them. When they had agreed upon the price for the bride, why, they drank a cup called the cup of the covenant, and they both partook of it. And then they asked Rebekah if she would go. Will you go with this man? She clearly said, I will go. And so from that moment forward, Isaac and Rebekah were considered as married. Rebekah committed herself to the bridegroom yet to be seen. And that being the fact, she could then look forward to the occasion when she would actually see him. So the covenant was made, and it was to be kept. And from that moment on, society was to consider Rebecca as a married woman. For other men, she was off limits. She had made a commitment. And beloved, you and I, as believers in Christ, to be part of the bride, we are part of the bride of Christ already. We're awaiting the marriage supper. We've made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't want to go back to the world. We don't want the world to have an influence upon us in any way, because our love is centered in another, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there was the covenant. And after the covenant had been made and gifts exchanged and so on, why, the man who had come seeking the bride went back to his father's home. If it was the father in person, then he went back to his home. The bride stayed in the home where she had been raised. He had gone to prepare a home for her, and she was staying now to prepare for that wonderful day when she would be united in marriage to the object of the covenant. Picture, a beautiful picture, of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came all the way from heaven to Calvary's cross, died there and paid the price. What was the price? I love the words of the beloved apostle, the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He gave his all. He gave himself on Calvary's cross, beloved, that you and I might be his glorious bride. And so, while she awaited, so he left that home and he returned to his. And our Lord Jesus Christ one day took the little band of men he knew and loved out to the mount. And from that mountain, he ascended into glory, the Mount of Olives. He went back to his home in heaven, and he left the bride, those that had trusted him here on the planet, to prepare for his return and to live for him in the process. And beloved, that's the position that you and I fill tonight as believers in our Lord Jesus Christ. We're here on the planet preparing for his return. Well, let's read some of the verses that we read this morning, some of them. We'll turn to the Gospel according to John, please. And chapter 14, 14 of John's Gospel. The Lord Jesus is the speaker, and these are such beautiful words. He's speaking to the men he will be leading and leaving eventually. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So do you see the actions, the habit of the bridegroom? He's gone to heaven to prepare a place for his believers, those who have trusted him as Lord and Savior. Now let's go over to the last book in the Bible, to the 19th chapter of the Revelation. And we'll read in the few verses that we read this morning once again as we look at verse number 4. Revelation 19 and verse 4. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, a voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of many thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And John says, I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy servant and thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now the Lord's going to add his blessing as we ask him to do so. Father, we thank thee for the precious and the blessed hope of the near return of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that as we consider this great event that will take place subsequently, that tonight we will sense the Spirit of God and all his power with us. Bring glory, please, to thyself and thy Son, we pray, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As we mentioned this morning, when the Father or his representative came to search for a bride, he would do so with the expectation that she would agree to the invitation and would agree to become the bride of the prospective bridegroom. He left, but then at a time all unannounced, he would return. And she never knew when he was coming back. When he did come, of course, she would be ready and go off with him. I imagined that scene this afternoon as I considered this precious subject. In those distant days, assuming that a prospective bridegroom has learned that there's a young woman that he was interested in and she has agreed to become his bride. Then the man who represented him with the father, he went back to his home. But now, the night is coming and he's going to return for his bride. And in one of the passages we read this morning, there was a call went forward and out at the midnight hour. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And often in that day, he and his party would come with torches illuminating the way. And from some distant point, they would first get sight of the approaching bridal party. And when he came, they would go out to meet him. And the bride would go with him to the home of his father. And there they would be married. There was a shout of jubilation that was heard at the midnight hour in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 25. And beloved, we're awaiting that call. We're awaiting this evening the return of our beloved Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is going to come with a shout according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. We're looking forward, I repeat, to the coming of the bridegroom, our beloved Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a joyous moment for the bride when she realized that finally he had come to claim her. Beloved, we have the promise of God as believers. We have the assurance that he's coming back for us because of the Holy Spirit that indwells us. It's called the earnest of our expectation, or the promise that he's coming back. How wonderful to know. You know, one of the dearest men I have known was a brother by the name of Leslie Rainey. A few of you will remember him and knew him, but I love that man. I don't know another man who had the knowledge of God that Les Rainey had. I said to him on more than one occasion, "Les, I wish that when you leave, the Lord had a set of battery cables and he could plug one set into your head and one into mine, and I could be privileged to have your knowledge." This man knew and loved the Lord. And often as he would talk about him in person, and I want to remember specifically one bitterly cold February day outside the hospital in Port Colborne on the edge of Lake Erie. And he started in to tell me what he had thought of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the tears ran down his cheeks in spite of the coldness. He went to glory 2 weeks ago yesterday. I attended his memorial service in Pittsburgh, North Carolina, a week ago yesterday. But Les was so overcome with the fact that he belonged to Christ and he was going to spend eternity. When I got the word, I said to myself, I wish I had been able to be there. When Les saw for the very first time the man who died for him, beloved, it's going to happen. We've got it in writing, right in this book. And we can accept it, believe it, anticipate it, and enjoy it. What a joyous moment that would be when the bride would go to be with her bridegroom. And we have, as we have read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the fact that he's coming. And I believe most sincerely, there is nothing that has yet to take place before he comes. There are things that you and I are privileged to see taking place now. And those are in light of the coming tribulation period, that awful period of time during which mankind will suffer for 7 years because the Lord Jesus Christ was rejected. And yet, you and I know from this book that we're not going to go through that tribulation. We will not know that wrath. We will be in the glory with the one who loved us and who is coming for us. We rejoice in it. And today we are living in an age, I'm going to say, of privilege, because I believe it is. We're seeing things actually unfold that were recorded for us in this book. There's a great deal of talk now about a one world currency. It's in this book, the Revelation. We're looking forward to the greater collection of world powers. Even over the last few years, the European Common Market is now a body, a meaningful political body. And more, that will take place when uprisings happen in various lands and the rebels claim to install a democratic form of government. And I believe that's going to continue. See it in Syria tonight. Well, when it does, it's going to prepare the groundwork and the planet for with a common form of government. And when the Antichrist appears on the scene, that part of the problem has been solved. Then he will take control and he will rule and reign in terror eventually. And so these things are happening. We see them happening. We're told that there would be famines. Well, all you have to do is pick up your newspaper, watch the television. And day by day we learn that there are more. Earthquakes are growing in intensity and in frequency. Italy, China, the USSR, the Philippines, California, Quebec, Turkey, Alaska, the US, and Japan are but a few over the last few years that have experienced earthquakes. Why? Because this book said they would. And it's all in anticipation of that terrible period of time when we think we're suffering now because of some climatic change. But, beloved, to me, as far as the change in temperature that they talk so much about, is just a further proof that our God can control the elements. Read the terrible things that are going to happen in the book of the Revelation. And you'll note there that the God who's in control today is the God who will be in control in that awful hour and period of time. I believe that the tribulation is on the calendar of God, and it's but moments away in the light of eternity. These facts are proven. The bridegroom is about to come for his bride. Men don't want to think or consider the rapture, as we refer to it. There was a very popular newscaster on a very popular Toronto station, and we often listened to him, Helen and I. One day she heard him say this as he ridiculed the rapture. He said, "If we don't see the rapture, we'll be able to watch it on the nightly news." He'll see the events. In fact, he's gone now. He's in eternity. Where, we don't know. Got a good idea. But the point is this. The rapture takes place. The living and the living and the dead believers rise to meet the Lord Jesus in the air, and we'll be forever with the Lord. And we rejoice in that. But those who realize something has happened won't see the event. They will see the results of the events. When people in prominent positions suddenly disappear, be it in transportation, be it finance, government, whatever, it will be obvious something traumatic has happened. And the newscasts will bear the news. Millions around the world disappeared today. And then the godless group that's left will try and present some kind of an answer or a reason for this sudden change of events. The Lord, beloved, is coming, and the bridegroom will come for his bride. He will have left his home in the skies, and he will come to where she lived on the planet. Isn't that beautiful? The dead in Christ shall rise first. My wife said to me on more than one occasion, "Honey, I hope I go first. I don't think I could stand it otherwise." Well, when I visit that grave outside or within the city of St. Catharines, I know she's there. The body's there. She's not there. She's with the Lord, according to this book. And on the occasion of the rapture, she's going to be one of millions who will vacate the grave at the sudden call of the Christ of God. And then we who are left behind will rise to meet them and then to the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. What will he do then? He will take us to his home. We read of it in John chapter 14. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it weren't so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And as a brother said to me today, when I think that he created this vast universe in 6 days, what has he been doing for 2,000 years as he's worked away in the glory? Beloved, it's for you, it's for me, it's for every believer. And we're going to the Father's home, and it will then be for us face to face with Christ, my Savior. And we will be at home with our beloved Lord. I don't have time to consider tonight the judgment seat of Christ. But all that we have done at that point will be called into review, and we'll have to give an answer for how we have lived and how we prepared ourselves for his coming back again. Beloved, it's so important that you and I live faithful, God-honoring, Christ-exalting lives. The Apostle Paul, as he wrote to the church at Corinth, and let's face it, it was shot through with all kinds of sin and problems. And he said, I want to present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. I don't want there to be anything wrong, immorally, spiritually speaking. I want you to live out and out for God with clean, acceptable lives that will bring glory and honor to him. I want to plead with you this evening, as I do with myself at this very moment. Beloved, let's live cleanly for our God. Think of the text of the apostle again. Beloved, keep thyself pure. Who did he write to? He was writing to young Timothy, a young man he deeply and dearly loved. Timothy, keep yourself pure, morally, spiritually, every way. Show me the child of God who's living close to him and enjoying him, and I'll show you an individual who is conscious of preparation in view of the coming of the bridegroom. Let's be ready for that. Well, then, in verse 7 of the Revelation chapter 19, we read that these words, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. And get this, his wife has made herself ready. But I thought she was the bride. She was more than a bride under that system. The moment she accepted her bridegroom, she was his wife. Another man couldn't touch her. And that's the way it was to be. And that's the way it should be with you and me, beloved, as we keep ourselves for him. And the marriage of the Lamb has come. I love the way the Amplified New Testament puts this. Just adds two words, and this is how it reads. The marriage supper of the Lamb has come at last. At last. Isn't that great? Oh, to be so anticipating. And I believe with all my heart, there are brethren and sisters in this company and around this globe, and they're waiting. And they say, Lord Jesus, come. And when they hear the shout and they're out of here and into the glory, they'll say, at last. He kept his promise, as I knew he would, and I'm together with my glorious bridegroom for all of eternity. You know, our brother was speaking about the wedding, and so often after a wedding, the ladies particularly want to know, what did the bride wear? Well, the scripture anticipated that, and it says that the bride will wear clean garments, clean, pure, holy garments, and they wear the righteousness of the saints. That's very interesting. Verse 8. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen. Doesn't that sound nice? Clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Think of that. And that blows me away. That the righteous acts of we believers, done for the glory of God, done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they go to heaven. And they will clothe this beautiful bride who stands in all her pristine purity in the presence of her bridegroom. What a day that will be when we are there with him for all of eternity. And so they are together. The whiteness would indicate her purity. Is the bride pure? When she arrives in his presence, she surely will be, because she has been redeemed by the precious cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed it on Calvary. Beloved, that's the prospect that you and I as individuals have as we await the return from the glory to stand ultimately in his glorious presence. The day of the rapture, as I have mentioned, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. An army battalion was on winter maneuvers, and the one who reported what he saw said this: during that night, men who slept in thermal sleeping bags were unconscious of the snow that had fallen, and they were covered. And across that field, there were little mounds of snow. But then, when the trumpeter sounded and the bugle was heard to arise, well, each of these broke loose from its snowy covering and got up. And that's the way it's going to be when the Lord comes. Praise God. The dead in Christ will rise first. But then the bride has arrived at the bridegroom's home in the presence of the Father. Now, in the actual event of Old Testament days, something most interesting happened. The bridegroom had come, he'd claimed his bride, taken her to his father's home, and then they went into a bridal chamber, and they stayed there for 7 days. Now get this, when the Lord Jesus comes for you and for me, he's going to take us to glory, and the world won't see us for another 7 years. And each day we will be with him. What's the point? He's taken his bride to be with him for the marriage supper and all that will be involved. She will enjoy him in all of his glorious magnificence and beneficence. And now he comes back with his bride. And that's when the world will see the bride of Christ, when she comes with him in power and great glory. I think that's magnificent. 7 days they were together, and then they came out and they were viewed as being together. But then, in the coming day of the rapture, you and I, following our time with the Lord Jesus, it will be 7 years. And what will be happening then? Down here on this planet, as I have mentioned, will be that terrifying 7-year period of the rapture. We miss it. We're in the glory. But he comes back at the end of the seven-year period, and they see not only the once crucified Christ, but his bride in all of her splendor and magnificence. And beloved, we'll be with him. Read of the armies that come from the glory, clothed in white raiment, and all the purity that our beloved Lord can address and give her, and we'll be there. And we will rejoice, and a guilty world will then come under the reign and dominion of him who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Then, beloved, there will be peace for a period of approximately 1,000 years as the millennium takes place. What a period that will be. And you and I will be there. Under his guidance, love, and direction, we will know his will and purpose for him, for us. We rejoice in that and praise him, that he might present to himself a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. I love that. A glorious church. The word there simply means to be honored, to be honorable, to be distinguished. Who is it? It's the church of which you and I form a part. And we're honored as we look at our beloved Lord in all of his magnificence and beauty, the one who suffered for us on the hill called Calvary. The righteousness of the saints I have already mentioned. Beloved, let me encourage you as I encourage myself. Let's work fearlessly for the one who loved us and died for us. That beautiful bride, made beautiful by the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ, will stand in all of her pristine purity at the side of her once thorn-pierced lover. And he will wear the diadems, not diadem, diadems, over every area of government in the universe. Who is he? He is the King of Kings, and he's the Lord of Lords. The Bride of Solomon's song says, "This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem." Beloved, would to God that he would so present the Lord Jesus Christ to us through the Spirit that our hearts would overflow as we keenly anticipate the return of our Lord from glory. He's coming. It's still in the book that he's coming. The day of hope is before us. It's the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior. He's one and the same. He's our Savior, and he's also the great God. And he's coming for us. Beloved, well might we have sung, "Face to face with Christ my Savior, face to face what will it be when with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me." Enjoy it as you settle down for your night's sleep. And if the excitement of it keeps you awake, don't worry one little bit. Enjoy it to the full. He's coming, and he's coming for me. Thanks be to God. Shall we pray, and then we'll sing a hymn. Father, thank you for your love. We cannot comprehend in even the faintest degree what it will be like to be a part of the bride of Christ. But from the bottom of our blood-bought hearts, we thank you for the work of the Lord Jesus on Calvary's cross. We look forward to seeing him. Hasten the moment, and may everyone who is in this chapel this evening be a part of that glorious crowd. This we pray in our Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen. Let's sing a few verses, shall we? Number 85, a beautiful hymn.